This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Hello again. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks who make the race cars go around the racetracks. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm good.
Good deal.
Atlanta in the rearview mirror.
Wild finish, wild race, cool winner with Daniel Suarez getting the win, and the super speedway portion of the early season is over. Let's do a little West Coast portion of it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what we get to going to Vegas and Phoenix. Yeah. You know, that's the cool part about this swing out West is that we've had Daytona and Atlanta both being speedway packages. So we kind of understood, and I don't think we can assess where the new bodies are.
No.
Because we can assess where they are in speedways. That's what we've done. It's been interesting. The Fords have been fast still, like we were last year. The Toyotas haven't qualified well, but have raced pretty well.
Yep.
And the Chevrolets have won everything.
Exactly. Go figure.
Yeah. So we'll figure out where that goes. But really looking forward to getting to Vegas and an intermediate track, and then to Phoenix. We get a look at the two other aero packages.
Yes.
In the next two races. So we get back on the West Coast, I think we'll have a better picture where we are.
I think so. 2 weeks from today, we'll be sitting here having a little bit better understanding. Adam Stevens will help us with the Toyota side of this. He's going to be our guest here on the program today. So always look forward to Adam breaking it down. And he did the Phoenix test also, so it's going to be interesting to see what he has to say as we go into these next two races, which I agree with you, they are very critical races. Going back to Atlanta, Trackhouse Racing has won two of the last three races when we go back to Phoenix.
Yep.
And they shifted things up. Matt Swiderski comes over from Colleague, and it has got to be a really, really good jump start to the season for Matt and for Daniel Suarez to knock that win out at Atlanta.
Yeah, I think it puts these guys in a situation where they've got an opportunity to really play free, not be up against that. Not be up against the pressure of making the playoffs. This should put them guaranteed in. We had 16 winners 2 years ago. Kurt Busch didn't go in. Ryan Blaney was the one guy that got in on points. I wouldn't look for 16 or more winners in 26 races in a season. It can happen, but I don't think in the first 26. So I feel like it puts them in. I feel like it puts them at ease. I think I worked with Swiderski at Team Penske for a few years. Really intelligent guy. Yeah. He's really on top of it. I think that's a good pairing, and I look for them to race a little freer and have some more success. Back to basically where I think Daniel could have a repeat of his 22 season when the first year of the next gen car. He was at the Charlotte Roval. They had a power steering rack failure, or they would have made the round of eight.
Yeah,
they were in a good position. He's really capable. I think this puts them in a position they could have that type of run this year.
Really cool. Good stuff, that's for sure. And Daniel was wheeling that car, that is for sure. A couple other drivers that are on the good side of things. Ryan Blaney's run here over the last five races. Second, 30th at Daytona. Understand, 30th at Daytona crashed at the front of the field. Second, first, second to end last year. They haven't missed a beat over the offseason. Again, we go to intermediates and short tracks now, but Ryan Blaney and Jonathan Hassel, they just keep knocking it out.
Yeah. The Team Penske Fords have been good.
Yes.
I think you look at this and where they've been, he was. I agree. He was the best car of the last three races last year.
Yeah.
He didn't win at Homestead, but he was by far the best car. Just a short run hurt him, I think, there at the end. Did win Martinsville and took him through the Phoenix. And, you know, Ross won Phoenix. If Ross is a points guy,
then it might have been a different story.
I think Blaney raced him a little rough because of the block and error and doing things like that. But I think he races him even harder and puts himself in a better position. But I said it when I left Brian Blaney. He's going to win championship.
Yeah.
His talent is way too much not to. And it seems like he's really gotten in his kind of in his pocket of where he's comfortable, and things are in a good place. And he and Jonathan are doing a great job. They will be a contender.
Yep. I agree with that as well. Bubba Wallace, 2 5th place finishes to start the season off. We saw this team so good, and we talked about it so much last year from August 1st or even July 15th into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Again, two super speedways, which Bubba is good at super speedways, but now we're going to a place. Last year, their intermediates was probably their strongest point. I'm really going to be anxious to see what Bubba does this weekend in Las Vegas, because this was their sweet spot last year. We'll see if they're able to maintain that.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. Like you said, the last, I don't know, 8-10 races of the regular season, he and Booty Barker, they went into playoff mode.
Yeah.
I mean, they just executed. That's the one thing that when you look back at this team, they've had speed and lacked execution. They didn't finish things. And they turned it on. They flipped the switch. They were at the point where they could execute, where they got everything out of their car that they were supposed to every race, and put themselves from being a bubble car to being solidly into the playoffs. And they're carrying that forward now. Two top 10 finishes here. It's been an interesting ride for them. It'd be great to see. They were good at Vegas.
Yep.
You know, we'll see where that plays forward. We'll see what the new car does to them.
That's exactly
right. That's part of what's going to be interesting here. The shout outs that were given, I want to give one.
Yeah.
Who's led the most laps so far this year?
How about that?
Todd Gilliland.
Yeah.
Led the most laps. And really, Front Row Motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
They've been, for a smaller team, you know, it's two speedway events, and they've been pretty good at them, but they've been solid. I mean, Todd and Michael were both very strong at both races
right
so far.
Michael, 2 front row starting spots. That's mm-hmm. just raw speed. Yep. And again, it's with the super speedway package. But something you alluded to, the Team Penske cars are good. That's a new alliance with Team Penske. It's now a Tier 1 Ford program, which we had mm-hmm. Travis Peterson on last week and shared a little bit about the details with that. It's a matter of now what they do with the influx of everything. 2 races in, they've done really well. They just need to get finishes now. They've got the speed. Holy cow.
And you talk about the Team Penske piece. We brought up Ryan's position. Joey has been fast, but nothing. He's buried in points. But his teammate, Austin Cindric, I had him on the late shift this week. 1 point out of first.
I know.
Yeah, and put 2 solid runs together, and they've been competitive. As you said, all those guys, and the Fords have been good, but the Penske guys have seemed like they've really kind of put it forward. And the Front Row guys have been right there with them.
Yeah. Going to be interesting to see again, and we've qualified this many times by saying, okay, the next 2 races are going to be key. We're sitting here in 2 weeks, and Front Row is still having the speed that they had. Then it's like, oh, wait a minute, hang on.
That's going to be a big story.
That's going to be a big story then. Exactly.
And we'll see where it goes out, but we do. We've got Vegas this weekend, intermediate, and then Phoenix, the first of that new aero package.
Right.
We'll see where that plays out. It's going to be interesting to talk about that.
A couple of folks that need to get up and moving. Austin Dillon, 35th in points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brad Keselowski.
Yes.
33rd in both races. And after the penalties, assuming no appeal, we'll wait and see. We're in the middle here. Yep. We're in the wait to see on the appeal process. Ryan Preece sits at zero points.
And Noah Gregson
minus 28.
Is he?
I think that's what I saw this morning, minus 28.
Okay.
But anyhow, but he's a negative. Because I had thought last night, I listened to you guys on that, and I thought it was like 7 below or something like that.
I thought it was 6.
No, 6 or 7. If it's 6 or 7 or 28 below, it's
negative.
It's negative.
It's negative.
It's not the direction you want to be in, that is for sure. So they've got some work to do, dig themselves out. A couple more attaboys, NASCAR Xfinity Series down at Atlanta. It was Austin Hill and Andy Street from Richard Childress Racing getting the win. Andy Street is 9th career win. NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Kyle Busch and Brian Patty from up at Spire Motorsports. Brian was 4th Truck Series win, but his 21st win overall in the Big 3 Series. Brian's a good crew chief, and boy, that pairing is dynamite when they get together.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Yeah,
so,
pretty special.
Fun stuff. Speaking of fun stuff, we're going to step away when we come back. Adam Stevens from over at Joe Gibbs Racing, he joins us.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon, Steve Post. Need to correct myself. Noah is 6 points below zero. I had 28 some kind
of... He lost 28 positions.
Yeah. I saw minus 28 and I thought, oh my gosh, this is terrible. So he is in much better shape than I thought. He's only 6 points below zero.
He's still in trouble.
He's still in the basement. That is for sure. Let's do this. Someone who's not in nearly as much trouble as they are over at Stewart Haas Racing is Adam Stevens. He is the crew chief, a 34-time Cup Series winner with Kyle Busch and Christopher Bell at the helm. Adam joins us from over at Joe Gibbs Racing. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Doing great.
Doing well here also. We've got the Super Speedway portion, at least the first Super Speedway portion of the season over. Kind of assess where you guys are at with Daytona and Atlanta in the books.
Yeah, you know, all things considered, we're not in terrible shape. If you'd have told me this is where we'd be after two races before we got started, I think that would kind of be right on the line of elation and disappointment. We're kind of in the middle ground right now. You know, we had a great run at Daytona, but we still left there feeling like we left a little bit on the table. And it had really high hopes for Atlanta, but we've been fast there every time we've been there. Haven't always had to finish the show for it, but we were always a factor in every race that we've raced there. But this one didn't really go our way. You know, we didn't even get the engine up to temperature before we were on the hook. So, you know, you'll have that every once in a while, and you hope everybody else gets their chance to have a disappointing day like we did, and then it all washes out. But, you know, all in all, we're looking forward to getting the meat and potatoes of the season going here at Las Vegas and really seeing what we got.
Yeah, as you look forward to Vegas, I guess I looked at qualifying speeds haven't been the strength in the Super Speedway package for the Camry. Seems like Daytona, you know, it was less than what we thought. Turned it around. You won your duel. Really competitive in the 500. Seems like the car races pretty well. Does that race speed show forward as we go into the kind of meat and potatoes you talked about of the season coming to Vegas, where we aren't motor power restricted like we are at Daytona?
Well, I mean, we hope so and we think so, but I mean, honestly, we just don't know until we get there and get a rip at it. We were all very disappointed and shocked at our Daytona qualifying speed, and I think if you do the math of, you know, how much horsepower you have to be off and how much drag you have to be off to be that far off the pole, it just doesn't add up. So I think we're just missing a little something with our prep and how we're getting ready to qualify. And I think we've got a little better at Atlanta as a company on average. You know, there's a little bit more spread than we wanted, but it was super windy day too, so there's going to be a little bit more spread in the field. But we got a little closer, but you know, that's a totally different rule package too. It's a 7-inch spoiler. It's a smaller engine. You know, there's a lot going on there that you're wide open throttle all day long for the most part. You're relying on the draft. It's just a different animal than what we're going to have at Las Vegas. And you know, our intermediate stuff was strong last year, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be stronger with everything we have going on this year.
Yeah, going back to Vegas, but you mentioned wind at Atlanta. Saturday's forecast is 25 to 45 mile an hour winds straight down the backstretch at Vegas. What does that do to qualifying at Vegas, and how do you prepare for that?
That's a great question. It's kind of like preparing to play bingo a little bit, you know, like what can you really do? But it's going to be the same for all of us. You know, it's going to put some spread in the qualifying results. You know, you get a gust at a time that you're not ready for, or that's really going to slow you down. You know, especially actual qualifying. You know, qualifying, you're all but wide open if the conditions are right. And if you're coming off turn two down the backstretch and can get a hefty gust, it's going to slow you down. There's just no two ways about it. So I think you have to prepare yourself for not having a great starting position, and prepare yourself for maybe not having the best pit stall selection, and just knowing that, don't be disappointed if that happens, because it's going to be a trying day with the conditions. So the other thing I would say is practice. You know, the practice conditions are going to be quite a bit different than race conditions, and spending too much time getting very dialed in to those practice conditions just isn't going to bear much fruit. So I think you'll see a lot of guys getting the balance halfway close and just running laps. And at the point in time that they think they have enough, they're going to pull plug.
The challenge of Las Vegas, and we'll see how it's changed since we were there last fall. You want, obviously, everywhere you go, you want that car as close to the ground as possible, but you've got some serious hurdles and bumps at Vegas. How do you balance that, Adam?
It's tough. We spend a lot of time on that, as I'm sure everybody does, but that's the key to the setup there, is getting through those bumps and having a balance that's not too tight, that you go through the bumps and you lose the front end, or not too loose and you go through the bumps and lose the back end. It's a constant struggle. And as much as we learn and understand about wheel rates and damping ratios and pitch control and everything else we keep track of, every time we go there, it's always not good enough. So it's just one of those things. I'm sure Todd knows that pain, but you know, sometimes I think we should just screw it up as good as we possibly can and unload that way, and then put it back to the way we think it should be, at least so we can have an improvement on the table for them, you know. But it's tough. The ride quality is never going to be good enough, but it needs to be better than the guys you're racing if you want to win. So it's a tough place. It's super tricky. The bumps down in the bottom of one and two especially are really harsh, and when you're on new tires, that's probably where you want to be, but sometimes your car just won't do it.
Yeah. I like your philosophy there. Make it terrible, and then you look like a hero coming forward. At least it sets the mentality in the right direction. Last fall, I thought you were the best car there. You needed one more lap. It was really impressive to watch Seabell run down Kyle Larson and just didn't quite get there. I felt like you needed like one set of corners, really close. But it was warmer then, and it was a different body. How much does the new Camry body affect that notebook and what you apply coming forward this year?
Well, the short answer is we don't know. It's going to be different. How much different it's going to be, it's going to be really hard to answer until we get a couple rips at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like we put the work in, and there should be a small improvement there. Now, whether that's it's easy to see. Maybe if you had a 2023 Camry racing against a 2024 Camry, you can see it. But I don't think it's going to be such a step change that, you know, we're just going to lap the field or anything. But how it changes the balance, how it changes the migration of the balance, you know, what you fight and what you don't fight, that's just all unknowns right now. So this is going to be a very important weekend for Toyota in general, and Ford too. You know, they have a new body. Just understanding, starting that notebook and developing an understanding of what it's going to take to make these cars as good as they can be.
We wrap up at Vegas. That's the intermediate, non-restricted portion setup that you guys will have. Then we roll into Phoenix, the new short track portion. You were part of the test out there. Of course, you tested a lot of things. Wherever they ended up is where they ended up. Just kind of what's your week and a half out assessment of what you guys are going to face out at Phoenix?
Yeah, you know, there's another big question mark. It's a rules package on top of a new Toyota body, so. We did get some laps with bits and pieces of that package. And I mean, the biggest thing that we learned that weekend was how the tires can really affect their raceability and what they look like on the racetrack. We tried a lot of different body stuff, and they made some differences, but in my mind, it wasn't a total game changer. So. You know, they're bringing back a different tire as well, so that with a heavier gauge, which is interesting. So it's going to be a little bit different race out there too. I don't think it's going to be wholesale different, but it will be different. There's going to be more fall off for sure. The car should be slipping and sliding more. The new rules package looks like, from the little bit of data we've gathered and a little bit of track time we've had, that allows the drivers to slip the cars a little more and recover a little bit more. But the tires are going to penalize that more too. So it should be interesting. But you know, it's still fundamentally tough at some of these flatter places that typically develop a primary groove to go out there and have 65 lead changes. You know, it just doesn't set itself up for that. But I do think it will be a good race, and I think we'll be competitive, and looking forward to getting out there as well.
Yeah, the 65 lead changes, that's speedway racing.
Yeah.
that's not what we, but the fact that if we can get these guys sliding around a little bit more and have, you know, the tires, the lap time degradation that you know, from abusing tires or abusing your car, we'll have comers and goers. I think that'll be interesting to see where that is. The West Coast Swing is now two races. It's Vegas and Phoenix, and it's two different aero packages. How does that change your logistics? We used to go through, you know, teams and swap outs, and some teams stayed out. What happens now with Vegas and Phoenix only being two races out west?
Yeah, that's a great point. And even if you go back years ago, when there was two intermediates and a short track, there was a period of time where the rules between those two were still the same. So obviously you had brake cooling at one and not at the other, and but there was a period of time where the aerodynamic rules were the same. So, you know, it's been something a little bit different every year. You know, I've gone out there and stayed for 3 weeks. I've gone back in between the first week and stayed between the first week and come back between the second week. You know, we've done swap out trucks. We've brought the trucks home. We've done it every possible way. And this year we're going to swap out truck route. So our cars will be prepped and sent. And the haulers will stay, and then we'll have a four-car hauler bring out the next week's primaries and bring back the previous week's primaries, and then we'll it'll be common backups between the two. So we'll have two backups for the four cars, one prepped as a intermediate car and one prepped as a short track car. So the big deal is that you've got one potential backup car for four teams, which on paper is okay. But you can't optimize it with your seat and your pedal positions and your driver cooling stuff, certainly not your setup, and there's no motors in it. It's not going to have a wrap on it, because how could you possibly choose a wrap out of one out of eight sponsored situations? And so if you have to pull a backup out on the West Coast, it is a lot of work. And I think we've all probably been through it and had teammates go through it, and everybody's just got to pitch in and grab some tools and make it happen.
And the good part about that is NASCAR lets everybody within your organization help out when you have to do that, right? It's if Denny Hamlin ends up needing a backup car, your guys can go over and help that. It'll be all four teams that will stay late to try to help put that car together, won't it?
Yeah, it'll be a couple guys from each team. I believe the 18 had a problem at Vegas last year. And in spring, and we all stayed. We stayed for probably extra 8 hours on Saturday to get it dialed in. It was a lot. I was there. I was helping wrap the car and just doing whatever I can do and anything, whatever it takes, you know. But it is an all-hands-on-deck situation, and thankfully, you know, it's a one-team mentality here, and has been, and will continue to be. And we don't look forward to those situations, but when they come up, we all jump in and dig everybody out.
Yes, indeed. The joys of NASCAR Cup Series racing and backups and West Coast and all of the other stuff. It is fascinating stuff when you guys all have to jump into action like that. And not fun for you guys, I know, but it's fascinating to see how it all unfolds. Adam, we really appreciate the time here. We know getting West Coast cars prepped and getting people out the door and in the door and everything else is challenging. And you had to wind the Martinsville clock over your shoulder, so we had to make sure that got done this week as well. But we do appreciate your time joining us here on Crew Call.
All right, Steve. Todd, thank you, guys.
There we go.
Thanks, Adam.
That is Adam Stevens joining us here on Crew Call. Stay with us. More in just a moment.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post, like to remind you that if you are enjoying what we're doing here on Crew Call, make sure you like and share and follow along and share this with other people. We have a great time doing it, whether you're listening on one of the podcast platforms or whether you're watching on Facebook or watching on YouTube. Please do us a solid and share this with all your followers. So, Todd, love getting a chance to break it down with Adam Stevens. The planning for bingo line cracked me up because it's like quite like preparing for bingo. I thought that was a funny line, but the uncertainty with the new Toyota XSE body, you could just tell they've got a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah. I think both the Toyota Camry and the
Ford
and the Dark Horse Mustang for Ford, like they've got question marks and they've got, it's different aero platform. I don't know where they went with the two packages, but you know, NASCAR keeps you within a box of where you can get to on downforce. There's an amount of downforce you can be in. There's an amount of drag you have to be in. So when you submit a new body, everybody's kind of in a box, but you might shift some of that forward. You might shift some of it rearward. You might make a little more side force. You kind of bounce around within the box and try to find it. And I think as he talked about the long run, they're trying to make a little better. Be interesting to see how that plays out for him. Obviously, they had a really good car here last year. Yeah. I mean, when you go to Vegas, so Christopher Bell, the run that he had running down Kyle Larson there at the end was incredible.
Was he rolling?
It'd be interesting to see where that plays out. And interesting comments there from Adam about the Phoenix piece. The Goodyear went to a little thicker tread gauge. So I'll kind of expand on that a little bit from my days of talking to the Goodyear engineers, and I'm not a tire expert at all, but the thicker the rubber is on the tire, the more heat builds up within the tire. And as the heat builds up, that's where the grip goes away. That's where the lap time fall off comes from, is if they get overheated, they don't work as well. So I think the tread gauge going, and it could be as small as like 20 thousandths. It's small changes. The tread on these tires is anywhere from like 60 to 80 thousandths to start with. So it doesn't mean it's got like a quarter inch more rubber on it, but it's got enough. And it'd be interesting to see how the new tire plays out here, because it could create some comers and goers within the race. It'll be fun to watch that at Phoenix.
I think we have a practice session out there, if I'm not mistaken. I think we have a full-blown practice session on Friday afternoon out there, so that's going to be interesting. Yeah. That factors in. I was thinking about that with the backup cars that Adam talked about. You, if you have a full practice session, what does that do to your backup mentality?
Yeah, so. And to the piece, I mean, Adam brought it up, and that's not JGR's choosing. NASCAR doesn't allow you to put a motor in a backup car. And when you bring shared backups, you can't wrap them and you can't have the seats installed. I don't know where they got to, but at Team Penske, I think the seat bucks were in the same location. We'd move the pedals and the seat insert to accommodate the different drivers, and that worked out pretty well. But I mean, there's so much you have to change. It's tough to go to a backup car. It's really tough if you're not a four-car team, to the point that I mean, if Mike Kelly and JTG Doherty have to go to a backup car, they are their only workers.
Right.
Where at least at JGR, you've got four teams worth of guys that can come help put that car together.
Yeah, I saw that as we were developing this car, watched it. We had 2 weeks in a row, Hendrick guys dinged up cars and had to go to backups. And I was talking to one of the guys there, one of the chief people over there. And I can see the guy. Anyway, I was talking to him, and he says, this is not a skill set we want to develop.
Yes.
It's fascinating to see what we learned last week that we're applying this week, but this is not a skill set we want to perfect, you know, but it's something you have to have. But I was noting that there was crew uniforms of every color of the Hendrick rainbow, if you will, over there working on the cars.
And that's what
Jeff Andrews. That's
what NASCAR allows you, is anybody within your organization can help on a backup car.
Yeah.
So the four team organizations, you know, Team Penske can have all three of their teams come over. You know, Roush Fenway, Kozlowski, and the 6 and 17 can put it together. So when you have multiple teams, there's an advantage going to the backup car of workload.
Right.
And still being able to focus on your stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And do some, as Adam talked about, 8 hours that they were there after the garage closed. That's a grind. But that's what it saves us in not having to prepare full backup cars every week.
Boy, remember those days.
And saves the engine companies, because Mm-hmm. That's another 40 engines that the engine company doesn't have to prepare.
Right.
So it's part of the whole just making it economically feasible.
Yep. So fascinating. Just the way this thing has evolved is fascinating. And it's going to be fun to watch the way Las Vegas has evolved.
Yes.
And you talked about it, and we talked to Adam about it, the bumps, the wind, all of the challenges, and also the air show that'll be going on.
Yes, you got the Air Force Base right there
behind. That's one of the greatest parts about going to Vegas is you're working in the garage area and you're getting buzzed by the Air Force planes flying over. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, it's a great place. It'll be a great event, and Saturday will be interesting, as Adam alluded to. It's very windy on Saturday. It's going to be tailwind down the backstretch.
Man.
So I look for qualifying. If I'm looking at it, I look for some people to just mess up 3 and 4.
Right.
Because that big push of wind down the backstretch, you've got a little more speed. And you've got, when you look at that, if you've got 40 miles an hour of wind behind you, you're down probably 40% downforce because the airspeed's gone down.
Yeah.
So you're not making the down. It's just like you could go down into three.
And not making the downforce.
Yes, and it could be straight up the racetrack.
I'm a radio guy. I'm not an engineer, but if you're going faster and you have less downforce, that is concerning.
I think whoever's in 3 and 4 talking about it is going to have a lot to talk about.
Wow. Fun stuff, that is for sure. Motor Racing Network will be out at Las Vegas on Friday night. It's the Victorious Voice Foundation 200 presented by Westgate Resorts. Our airtime is 8:30. On Saturday and Sunday, our friends at the Performance Racing Network take over with NASCAR Xfinity Series and NASCAR Cup Series racing out at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Want to remind you again of our new podcast series, NASCAR Live Presents 2004, Chasing History. Another episode dropped this week, so now you can go back and listen to the first two. It takes a look back 20 years ago at the first season of NASCAR playoffs, or the chase, as it was known. We have NASCAR Live, our Tuesday night tradition, NASCAR Live Wide Open, the podcast version of that show with some additional content. NASCAR Coast to Coast, where Chris Wilner and Kyle Rickey talk to the stars of local racing. Wing Nation, where we talk sprint car racing, and of course, this is NASCAR Crew Call. You can find all of it on our podcast and on our YouTube channel. So we are grateful for Adam Stevens joining us here today on the program. Most grateful that you have joined us here as well. For Todd Gordon, I'm Steve Post. We'll talk to you again next time on MRN's Crew Call.